Sick of procurement bottlenecks, endless back and forth, and last-minute surprises? Get the cure with Bill Procurement. Bill is the all-in-one platform trusted by nearly 500,000 businesses to simplify and automate their financial operations. And now they've introduced Bill Procurement, which pairs seamlessly with accounts payable to automate procure-to-pay workflows in one place. Every step, from submitting a purchase request to reconciling payment, happens in Bill Procurement. You'll know whether spend is approved before you buy, and Bill's AI-powered automation helps reduce errors so you can make purchasing decisions with confidence. Plus, Bill Procurement puts everything you need to match and pay invoices right at your fingertips. So dump your clunky procurement process and keep your business moving and growing with Bill Procurement. Purchase, pay, and on with your day. Right now, score $200 when you see Bill Procurement in action with a demo. Just go to bill.com/procurement200. Don't wait. That's bill.com/procurement200. Sick of procurement bottlenecks, endless back and forth, and last-minute surprises? Get the cure with Bill Procurement. Bill is the all-in-one platform trusted by nearly 500,000 businesses to simplify and automate their financial operations. And now they've introduced Bill Procurement, which pairs seamlessly with accounts payable to automate procure-to-pay workflows in one place. Every step, from submitting a purchase request to reconciling payment, happens in Bill Procurement. You'll know whether spend is approved before you buy, and Bill's AI-powered automation helps reduce errors so you can make purchasing decisions with confidence. Plus, Bill Procurement puts everything you need to match and pay invoices right at your fingertips. So dump your clunky procurement process and keep your business moving and growing with Bill Procurement. Purchase, pay, and on with your day. Right now, score $200 when you see Bill Procurement in action with a demo. Just go to bill.com/procurement200. Don't wait. That's bill.com/procurement200.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Who can forget the romantic text message novel that Chad Daybell was sending Lori Vallow back in 2019? Things like, when their hands touched, he felt a shock pass through him and his heart started beating faster. Elena was gorgeous and vivacious, and James was a little intimidated yet honored that she would talk to him. Tonight I figured out who I feel like. I'm a grown-up version of Harry Potter who has to live with the Dudleys in his little space under the stairs. Every few weeks I get to escape and have amazing adventures with my goddess lover, but then I have to return to my place under the stairs feeling trapped. But I sense permanent freedom is coming. These are the words textured by Chad Daybell to Lori Vallow. Lori Vallow Daybell, as she eventually became, early on in their relationship. It's you know, Chad thought he was a great writer. He wrote several doomsday type books, most of which have been, you know, panned and said these are some of the worst writings I've ever seen. But he's down with his writing. And Lori obviously was too. So they would send these messages back and forth. The interesting thing about this is they're now going to be facing two separate trials. Death penalty on the table still for Chad Daybell, not so much for Lori anymore. The question is, someone who was that enthralled with her and her with him, is there the possibility that that one may flip on the other in the course of these trials? Very likely, or the possibility existing very soon that Chad could flip on Lori, as her trial and jury selection is set to begin in just less than a week. Speaking of which, jury selection in itself, not likely going to be the easiest thing either. Jim Rathman is joining us right now, former Secret Service and investigative consultant. Jim, thoughts on the jury selection before we talk about Chad flipping on Lori?
Well, I think it's going to be very difficult. There's so many people that are familiar with what happened to the kids, her disappearance. So there's a lot. It's going to take a long time for them to find 12 jurors that are going to be completely unbiased and have not been tainted by what they've seen in the media. So the defense team has a lot of work to do. And, you know, the prosecutors, it's going to be interesting.
What I'm curious about is how much is going to be admitted into trial itself in terms of her religious beliefs, in terms of the zombies and all of that. Do you expect all of that to be fair game and admitted into the trial for painting a picture of Lori as this killer mom who had these very bizarre ideas?
I do. I do believe it'll be admitted, and I think it's important, and it's important to paint the character of where her mental state is, what she's been doing, what she's been up to, what her beliefs are, which is going to essentially paint a pretty good picture of what her character is like and what may have happened to the kids, even though they already seem to have known that. I think it's just going to help prove the case more.
Is there anything, when you look at this, where there is a strong defense for her? I know there's, you know, chatter a little bit about the idea that maybe it was her brother, Alex, who did a lot of it. But again, that timeline doesn't even match up all that well. There's possibilities that he was dead when the children were dead too. It all depends on how some of those things actually did time out. When you look at this, like I said, is there any direction where this makes any sort of plausible sense or in a positive direction for Lori?
No, I don't think there's going to be a positive direction for Lori in any of this whatsoever. I think her only defense she can have is mental insanity. And I don't know if they're going to go for that. Or if I remember correctly, I thought they've actually already tried that.
Idaho doesn't allow for it.
What's that?
Idaho doesn't allow it.
Okay, Idaho doesn't allow it. So I think they're going to have an awful lot of a tough time to really navigate those waters to get around her mental health and all the things that she was doing. I don't think she's gonna have much of a defense. I think the only thing the defense is going to do is throw out there whatever they can, see what sticks, and hope that it's enough to sway the jury members any way that they can. But they're going to have a very tough time with this. This is one heck of an uphill battle for the defense team.
One of the things that's starting to be speculated on in terms of the trial itself, because it's obviously separate from Chad now. Chad's trial doesn't even have a date, likely later in the year or early next year, is will Chad flip on her? Will Chad come out and say, hey, you know what? I had some involvement here, but it was Lori's idea as a way to lighten his load as far as what he could end up being sentenced with. Lori obviously has death off the table now. That just, to me, raises so many interesting ways that this could twist and turn again. In my opinion, I think she'd break down if suddenly Chad came up and said this is all a lie. But I don't know that he's going to do that, but I don't know that I think he's capable of doing it. I don't know that so much she is capable of flipping in terms of who's believing what script.
Well, I don't think she's going to have the ability to flip. I think if anybody flips, it will be Chad. I think what the prosecutor's office and what they do as they go through this process here is to determine how strong their case is and what's the likelihood of full convictions. And then at that point, really tightening the noose, so to speak, on Chad to say, if you want a deal or any chance of freedom at all in your lifetime, you're going to have to come forward and talk. Will he do it is the question. But you'll be surprised what people will do when they know that they're cornered and they know that they are in hot water and they're looking at the rest of their life behind bars. At the end of the day, given his age, even if he gets a 30-year sentence, it's pretty much a life sentence anyway, but at least he has a chance. So which route is he going to go, or is his attorney going to advise him to stay quiet and let them prove their case? Because at the end of the day, the burden lies on the prosecution to prove their case.
When it comes to a situation like that and they want somebody to flip, how accurate are those stories that come out where they know, like, look, you better tell us what we want to know or what we think we want to know to fill in this storyline of Lori being this horrible person? Isn't that also a ripe area for someone to say, I'll tell you whatever you want to hear as long as it fits your storyline? Isn't that more ripe for people to just make things up to fit that storyline to defend themselves? Or can that be, can holes be poked through that as well in any sort of effective way?
Well, typically they're going to be very careful with that, because the last thing you want is a false confession that you're trying to use to prosecute somebody else. Mm-hmm. That could blow up the entire case altogether. So typically when they get a confession, they get somebody that's going to go ahead and tell you what happened in order to get a better deal. It's usually proven, and it's proven by timelines. It's proven on where things are at. There's some sort of factual evidence that they can actually research, determine that this is exactly what happened, and that they know that this is true to its core.
Okay. So it doesn't just have to be, well, Chad's telling us this, and this seems to work in getting Lori prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. We're going to go with it. Whatever he says, correct, there's going to need to be some way of backing that up. And it's not just he said, she said.
Absolutely. A lot of times in cases, like in murder cases, right, they'll take you to where they hid the evidence, or they'll take you to where the body is, or they'll take you to where the crime scene was, or they'll do something to prove that this is real. What I'm telling you is exactly what happened. Mm-hmm. It matches with the timeline. There's evidence to it. It's something factual that they can give. It's not just circumstantial evidence. It's usually pretty concrete. And that they'll ensure that if Chad were to do that, that's exactly what they're able to show, because they don't want to torpedo the entire case by trying to go off of two people that have continuously lied over and over again. They're going to want to prove it without a shadow of a doubt, so they can use that against Lori.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast.
The Hidden Killers Podcast
with Tony Bruschi.
You just never know exactly what's going to be happening with you, with those two. Wouldn't it be great if we had them on the phone? Hey, can you guys reenact that love story again for us? Just play the roles. I'll do the narration. I would pay to be a part of that. If you like the show, press subscribe wherever you download podcasts. You don't miss any breaking updates or discussions on the cases that we're following for you right here. My name's Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.